And we come today to Genesis chapter 41, and I hope you're comfortable. I hope you have your Bible open, because this is a long chapter, but it's the Word of God. We're going to get into it. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 41, verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So 2 years have passed since Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's 2 servants, and he is still in prison, and there hasn't been any change in his fortune yet, but it's coming soon. Verse 2, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored cows and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Isis, the Egyptian goddess, was symbolized by a cow. So notice, Pharaoh has a dream about 7 cows. 7 cows. He probably believes he's having a religious experience. He is. But it's not from Isis. It's from God. Verse 3. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other cows upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cows did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat cows, so Pharaoh awoke. That must have been terrifying. Because according to this dream, if you're Pharaoh, Isis, one of the goddesses of Egypt, just devoured herself. And it was strange for another reason. Cows do not eat meat. So he's going to be troubled, but not quite yet. 5. And he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good, grain, just plump. And behold, 7 thin ears. And blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke up, and behold, it was a dream. It was like, it was one of those deals where he woke up in the middle of the night. It was so real that he thought it was real. And when he shook it off, he realized it was a dream. And it was troubling, because both were similar and both were very odd. Verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Isis was devoured. Thin grain, the symbol of Egypt's prosperity, was devoured. No wonder the king was troubled. And even worse, no one could tell him what it all meant. He knew it was bad news. He just didn't know how bad or exactly what it meant. Verse 9. Then spoke the chief butler, I should say, to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored to my office, and him he hanged. So the butler finally tells the king about what Joseph did. Of course, he didn't mention the fact that, you know, he promised Joseph that, or Joseph asked him to say something to the king to get him out of there. He didn't bring that up. But he did finally speak about Joseph as a favor to the king, evidently. One thing he says here doesn't make sense. He suggests, he says, I do remember my faults this day. It's like he's saying, I forgot about Joseph. Hey, you know, I just remembered something. How do you forget about the man who correctly predicted that instead of being executed, you'd be released from prison? Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came to Pharaoh. Facial hair was an abomination to the Egyptians. So Joseph shaves before he goes to Pharaoh. You know, some things are etched in stone. We can't do anything about them. But the things we can do something about, we should. That's part of God's will for us. And it's one means by which he blesses us. So Joseph shaves. And by the way, Joseph doesn't know it, but his life just turned the corner. Verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And this was a situation where Joseph could name his price. This was an opportunity for him to take credit and thereby get out of that dungeon. But notice what he says. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So instead of drawing attention to himself and trying to earn a favor from Pharaoh, Joseph points Pharaoh immediately to God. No self-promotion in Joseph. 17, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the middle. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored cows did eat up the first seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And what Pharaoh, in essence, is saying is that the goddess of Egypt was devoured, and no one could say why. But Joseph is different because he knows the God who knows everything. 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. I love that. God has shown Pharaoh what he, God, is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears, blasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showed to Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh's used to being in charge. But I just love how Joseph said, Pharaoh, God is showing you what he is about to do. You get it? Pharaoh, God is not asking. He is telling. That's pretty bold talk for a slave boy prisoner like Joseph. But this is the word of God, and it has to be spoken boldly, and he does. 29. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Notice, you won't even remember the good times, Pharaoh. It's going to be so bad. When times are tough, people like to remember the good old days. But you know you are in big trouble when things are so bad that you can't even remember the past good. That's the way it is for people in hell. You think they're going to have fond memories of all the sinful pleasure they enjoyed on earth? They're going to be so consumed with torment that will never end that thoughts of any pleasure they had in this life won't even enter into their minds. 32. And for that the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. When God says something once, it's true. When God says something twice, sirens and whistles ought to be going off in our heads. Red alert, red alert. This is going to happen. This is truth. 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. He's going to give him some good advice in light of the word of God. Not just the communication of the truth, but Pharaoh, I think this is how you ought to apply it if you want to be blessed. So here we go. Verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Good idea from Joseph. He doesn't just deliver the word, he's trying to get the king to make use of God's word. God gave the king warning so that he would have time to prepare. You know, that heathen king never did God any favors. But God's doing him a big favor right here, which illustrates the fact that we don't have to wait for others to do something nice to us before we should do something nice for them. Verse 35, and let them gather all of the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, forasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You know, the king notices the connection between Joseph's relationship with God and how it affects his character and wisdom and behavior. He picked up on that. You know, I don't think I've ever heard of a good relationship that didn't affect one's behavior. It's just the opposite. You think about them, you help them, you want them to be happy. You apologize when you hurt them. And a relationship with God often affects behavior as well. It certainly affected Joseph's enough for Pharaoh to notice. And the king knows. That's why he has wisdom. And so, verse 40, you shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. He just made Joseph vice president of Egypt. 41. How's that for a change? Earlier that day, he was in the dungeon where he had been for years. Now he's vice president of Egypt, just that quickly. One of the often repeated phrases in Scripture is, and suddenly. Don't give up on God. Don't quit on God. Because he can change things very quickly. And that's because he doesn't need any help. 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. That ring was like a rubber stamp with the king's signature. Joseph can issue any decree and sign the king's name, and it is law. Just that simple. Gold necklace kind of complemented the ring. It was symbolic of authority in Egypt. So Joseph has just been given the power of attorney in the world's superpower of that day. He can act in place of the king. 43. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. The second chariot would be sort of like the vice president's airplane, Air Force Two. 44. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." In other words, by order of the king, nothing of any importance relating to anything political or economic can be done by anyone in Egypt unless it is okayed by Joseph. What an amazing turnaround. 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephanath-Paaneah, and he gave him as a wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's new name means the one who reveals the future. And of course, Joseph gave all the credit to God. He never claimed to be able to predict anything. God used him to do what he did, and he knew that. Verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph had been 17 when his brother sold him. So now after 13 years of slavery and prison, through no fault of his own, he is second in command in the most powerful nation on earth. 13 years of mistreatment. 13 years of probably thinking, "I never thought this would be my life. I never dreamed this sort of thing would happen to me." 13 years of wondering, how can this possibly be God's will for me? 13 years of anything and everything except good could not break his spirit. He kept serving God. He kept trusting God. He kept worshiping God. And he kept trusting God concerning the things that he didn't understand until he got his breakthrough. 47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. So Joseph is giving the orders, and one of the commands was for storage facilities to be built in every area of Egypt. Verse 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering it, for it was without number. At first, Joseph kept an inventory of all the grain that he stored, but after a while, he thought, "Forget it. We have more than we can count." Verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, "He has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." God is big enough to deliver anyone from being a slave. He's big enough to deliver anyone from bad memories if they persevere with him. And that's what Joseph did. Terrible past. But God was big enough to deliver him from those past memories to the point where they did not ruin his present. The best way to avoid being a slave of the past and avoid the bitterness that often accompanies that is to be full of God and full of the Word of God and just be busy doing things that need to be done today. 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in my land, in the land of my affliction. 13 years of bad resulted in God making Joseph fruitful. You know, none of it was good. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being good, the previous 13 years scored a 0. It had been bad. But God brought good out of it, and Joseph is better because of it. He's a better man. And that's just the beginning of how God used it, as we will see. 53. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. No crops were growing anywhere, and I mean anywhere. Syria, Arabia, Canaan, Palestine, and Egypt were not producing anything. But Egypt had food. They had food because they had Joseph, and Joseph had the word of God, which Egypt was wise enough to follow. See, following the word of God saved them. It'll work in your life. It'll work in the life of any nation, too. 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. And this is where Joseph's walk with God will really start to pay off for the people. They're on the verge of starving. But if they listen to Joseph, they'll be okay. Verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. You say, why did he sell people the grain? Why not just give it to them for free? Doesn't say why. I can offer a guess. Maybe to cut back on waste. You know, when people have to pay for something, they're less likely to waste it. And this needed to last for 7 years. Verse 57, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Because that, the famine was so sore in all the lands. People traveled from all over the known world to get food from the only place that had it, Egypt. And I don't think anyone was fussy either, do you? When food is plentiful, sometimes people complain if the meat's a little tough. Or the eggs are a little hard. Or maybe because they have to eat the same thing several days in a row. But when food is scarce, people are happy to get what they can. So God is blessing and really sustaining many people from all over the world, at least in that area. Because he gave the word of God to Joseph. The word of God is preserving. Not just Joseph, but a lot of people. You know, God's word, the blessings of God's word, when followed by God's people, spill over and touch the lives of many.